you guys. Welcome back to another Flickers of Fear show. For whatever reason, I decided I was going to do the show with Mothman sitting beside me. I'm sure he'll have some contributions later on. I hope not. That'd be really scary if he actually started talking. But yeah, so we're going back to my beloved giallo movies for this episode. And this was one I've seen a lot of this guy's other giallo movies, but this was pretty much the only giallo movie that he made that I hadn't seen. This is the 1972 film Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key. Yes, that is probably the best giallo title in the world. I will say that it's like it doesn't really have anything to do with what happens in the movie. The reason that he called it that was because it's a reference back to the first giallo that he directed, which was The Strange Vice of Mrs. Ward. This was directed by Sergio Martino, in case I didn't mention that. And that was something that there was like some kind of plot point in that where a killer left a note to one of the victims that said that on it. And I guess he liked that phrase so much that he decided he was going to name a movie that, even though it doesn't really have anything to do with what goes on in the movie. The movie has a bunch of alternate titles, as a lot of Italian movies tended to do. Then the one that makes the most sense to me is Eye of the Black Cat, I believe was the name of it. There was another one called Excite Me, which is dumb as hell. I think that's what it was called in the UK, maybe. And one other title that wasn't really all that compelling. Eye of the Black Cat, probably the better title, just thematically, like in terms of what, you know, I don't like that title as much as the actual title, but it actually does have more to do with what's going on in the movie. Because here's something that I wasn't really aware of before I watched this movie. And then, like, as I was watching it unfold, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, we're going that way with it. This is pretty much, it's like a giallo film, sort of. It's more on the erotic end of the giallo, because there's a lot that are like that, you know, more than the bloody, gory end. There is a murderer running around who has, you know, a billhook, and he's cutting young ladies up. But that's kind of almost, I don't want to say it's like sidelined, but that's like not the main thrust of the plot. The main thrust of the plot is more like a weird sadomasochistic sort of like character study of this married couple and then this girl that comes there like later on. And then the second half of the movie is pretty much a straight up retelling of Edgar Allan Poe's The Black Cat, although a little bit different, but not really all that different. I mean, as soon as, because the cat like features very, very prominently in this movie. So once it got to that point where they were kind of going along those lines, just like, oh, okay, so we're doing The Black Cat. But I didn't realize that. You know what I mean? But I it's weird because I feel like a lot of, God, there's been a lot of adaptations of The Black Cat and a lot of Italian ones, because there was Two Evil Eyes. That was George Romero and Dario Argento. They did an adaptation in there. I think Lucio Fulci at some point did an adaptation of it. So this one, it's not an exact adaptation because there's a lot of other shit going on in the, you know, first part of the movie, but pretty much the second half of the movie is straight up The Black Cat. So if you've read that Edgar Allan Poe story or have seen other movie adaptations of it, then you'll pretty much know where it's going. That said, though, I liked this one because it has some standard giallo elements, but it's sort of, I don't know if I'd say it like subverts them, but it does something different with it. And I actually didn't really guess where it was going, like toward the end. Like, I didn't really guess who the killer was, and like it kind of surprised me a few times. As I said, if you're real into like Dario Argento's ones, were like, you know, these really spectacular, like gory kills, don't be disappointed, because this one, you know, there's a couple, like I said, a couple girls get hacked up with a billhook and shit like that, but it's not super gory. You know, it's not super, I mean, the killings are very kind of workmanlike. This is more, it's more like a gothic giallo in a way. And as I said, it's kind of more interested in the interplay between these three kind of terrible characters and like all the shit that's going on around there. So basically, as I said, this came out in 1972. It was directed by Sergio Martino, who prior to this had done Strange Vice of Mrs. Ward. He also directed All the Colors of the Dark, which is probably my favorite one of his, because it has like a weird psychedelic surrealist kind of thing, and there's like some witchcraft shit going on in there, and I always like that. He also directed The Case of the Scorpion's Tail, which is also pretty great. So what we have here is we have Luigi Pistilli, who was in, I believe he was in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He was also in Bay of Blood, the Mario Bava movie. He plays this complete douchebag named Oliviero. And he lives in this villa, and he's a writer, and I guess he was a professor too, but he's sort of like over the hill, kind of washed up at this point. He hasn't really written anything in a long time, and he's a little bitter about it. Kind of an alcoholic, real kind of degenerate nobility type of character like he has going for him. So at the very beginning of the movie, we're at his villa and he's having this party. And apparently, I watched another review of this where somebody else pointed out, I think it was Grumpy Andrew. I love him. Go check out his channel. But he was talking about this movie and he said, you know, not only is the second half of this movie based on The Black Cat, but the first half has a little bit of, not exactly, but a little bit of a whiff of Mask of the Red Death to it, just in the sense that Oliviero is just kind of this degenerate fuckface who has all these, who has this big villa and he has all these lavish parties and he's just like a terrible person. And so it has kind of that aspect to it. So at the very beginning, I guess he's having, I didn't realize this the first time I watched it, but then the second time I kind of like, you know, it occurred to me that he's having this big party at the villa and I guess it's a wake for his mom. Now, they don't ever say this outright in the movie, but it's implied that maybe he had some weird incestuous shit going on with his mom, because he for sure is like super obsessed with her. And there's a painting in the house of her, and I think she's supposed to be dressed like Mary Stuart, like, and she's got kind of all the, you know, royal finery on or whatever. And she's pictured there with her little black cat, whose name is Satan. And we'll get back to Satan in a minute. He's the best character in the movie, because you guys know how much I love cats. So he's having this party and he invited all of these hippies from a nearby campground. So they're all kind of doing the shit, you know, they're drinking, taking drugs, and then they start to sing along, which is horrifying. But I think so, because I should explain, the first time I started watching this movie, it got like 5 minutes in and then it was just like the hippies started singing and I was like, oh Jesus Christ, okay, I can't deal with this right now. But it's like, it's really funny because you really need to stick with it, because that's just like a what the fuck kind of moment. But after that, it just like gets more normal, at least normal in the sense of like a giallo movie. But I was just like, why? We really didn't need hippies singing. Okay. But so at this party, we establish what a shithead Oliviero is, because his whole deal is that he pretty much lives to be a shitty, shitty person to his wife, Irina, who is played by Anita Strindberg, who she was in like a bunch of giallo movies. I think she's Swedish, I believe, and she was also a model. So he does this really gross shit where he's just kind of like, you know, demeaning her and stuff. And then he goes around to all the other partygoers, and because she doesn't want to drink, and he's like dumping all of their, you know, half drunk wine and backwash into this fucking bowl. And then he like forces her to drink it. And then, as if he wasn't enough of a dick, then he proceeds to molest their black maid and say all kind of like racist shit. So it's just kind of like, he's just a special, special fella. So that kind of sets that whole thing up. So at the beginning, what we establish is that this guy's a shit. He's abusing his poor wife. He has a weird thing going on with his mom, who is now dead. And his mom has bequeathed him this cat named Satan. And the wife, Irina, really, really cannot stand this cat. And apparently the feeling is mutual. I guess the cat doesn't really like her all that much either. And I will warn you that, I mean, obviously they didn't do anything to harm an actual cat, at least as far as I know. But I mean, if you've read the story, the Edgar Allan Poe story, The Black Cat, you know, like some pretty terrible shit happens to cats in it. And it happens in this movie too. So just kind of know that going in, because the cat in this is like super adorable. He's all like fluffy and black and he has like big gold eyes. Super, super cute. Even though his name's Satan, I wouldn't hurt him, you know. So at the beginning, you kind of have your standard giallo sort of thing. Now, the first victim of the killer, and this happens like pretty early in the movie, is this girl named Fausta. And Fausta used to be a student of Oliviero's when he was a teacher. And I guess they started bonking when he was her teacher. And then they kind of carried on the affair. I guess the wife kind of knows about it, because it seems like Oliviero kind of gets off on his wife knowing that he's fucking around on her. Although there's an implication later on too that he might be impotent, but I'm not really sure, you know, what that's all about. I don't know. It was like an implication that just kind of occurred to me. A couple things that some of the characters said like led me to believe that. So Fausta, he's supposed to go meet her. You know, they're gonna go fuck or whatever. And then she ends up brutally murdered with a billhook at the site where she was supposed to meet him. Coincidentally, Oliviero was not home that night. So the cops, who I guess it was sort of like an open secret that he was bonking her. She worked at a bookstore and I guess he like hung out there at the bookstore too. The cops come to his house and are like, hey, were you home last night? And he's like, yeah, I was totally here. And then his wife, Irena, even though she knows that he wasn't home and even though she knows that he is a horrible piece of shit who probably just killed a girl, said, yeah, he was totally here. So she like covers for him. So it's this whole like fucking, for the first part of the movie, which like I said, and I am going to spoil this because this movie is like super old. It came out in 1972. You can watch this movie. There's a really nice Arrow Blu-ray release if you want to buy it. You can also, I believe you can watch it on Amazon Prime and you can also watch it on Shudder, at least in the United States. Not sure about other countries, but it's pretty, I think it was kind of hard to get for a long time, but it's pretty easy to get nowadays. I think, and you didn't hear it from me, but I'm pretty sure you can watch it on YouTube as well. So I'm not sure what the quality is. The one that I watched on Shudder, because they just added it a couple weeks ago, they added a bunch of Sergio Martino's movies. And the one I watched, this actually was not dubbed into English like a lot of the giallos were that, you know, got shown in this country. This was actually in Italian and had English subtitles. I think it was still dubbed because they dubbed all of them, as far as I could tell, because this has actresses and actors and actors from that are not Italian. So, you know, like Anita Strindberg is Swedish, Edvige Fenech, she's French. And she was in a bunch of Sergio Martino's movies too. We'll get to her in a minute. So there's this whole fucked up dynamic between Oliviero and Irena where he's just like the worst. And she kind of starts to suspect that maybe he's a murderer, but she seems like she's afraid to leave. So yeah, so there's that whole kind of thing going on. Like a couple other people turn up dead and it does kind of seem like he's conveniently not home, like when it happens. So she starts to more strongly suspect, like then their maid ends up getting killed, you know, in the house. And so she's starting to suspect that her husband is a murderer. And you would not be, I mean, you could be forgiven for thinking that because like I said, not only is this shit, but he actually like straight up like threatens to kill her sometimes. Like it's like, oh yeah, would you really believe I could cut your throat? Maybe I'll start with you and all this other stuff. I'm like, dude, you're really not helping your case here. I'm just saying. So that kind of goes on for the first 20, 30 minutes of the movie. That's more like kind of the giallo thing. And you know that if you know anything about giallo movies, you know that the person that they really are setting up to be the killer is totally not the killer. So, I mean, even as much as they set Olivia's like, he's just this terrible, terrible person, like there's nothing redeemable about him at all. He's never at home. So they set him up so obviously that you know that it's not him. So then a little way into the movie, we start to mix things up a little bit. Oliviero's niece, Floriana, invites herself to stay at the villa with them. Just, you know, hey, I'm showing up. You better come pick me up from the train station, bitches. It's kind of that kind of thing. Now, apparently, Oliviero has not seen her since she was a little girl. She turns up and, man, she ain't a little girl no more. And she's played by Edvige Fenech, who at the time and even nowadays, one of the most beautiful women, like in any of these movies, in movies of all time. She's just like supernaturally beautiful. Like I said, she was in a really lot of giallo movies, including several of Sergio Martino's ones. So she shows up immediately. Oliviero, even though he is her uncle, is just like hubba hubba. And so he's like, oh, of course you can stay here and all this other kind of shit. Not only is she like drop dead gorgeous, but also she's real sexually liberated. I think she has sex with pretty much every major character in this cast now that I'm thinking about it. And she's just kind of like, no complications, man. We're just gonna bang. It's fine. And Olivia is like, yeah, I'm into that action. So it's that kind of shit going on. I will say too, and I think I mentioned this earlier, this is way, way, way more on the kind of more smutty giallo angle than the gory. This is like straight up, there's like a lot of softcore porn. There's, you know, there's a lot of nudity, a lot of like prolonged sex scenes. So if that's like your bag, then you'll probably be into this kind of, it's not as sleazy as it sounds. It's a little bit sleazy, but it's mostly tasteful. But I mean, a lot of the sex scenes are obviously gratuitous, but you know, what wasn't, like, at this fucking era of movie making, particularly Italian movie making. And I think a lot of Sergio Martino did a lot of this. I think it's been a while since I saw The Case of the Scorpion's Tail, but I remember that being, like, pretty smutty too. You know, it's just bouncing boobies everywhere and, you know, lesbian love scenes, hetero love scenes. It's just everybody's banging everybody. And, you know, so it's fun for boys and girls alike. But yeah, so she shows up and she pretty much immediately, the fascinating thing about her character, other than the cat, I think she's my favorite character in this, is that you're not entirely sure what her motives are, like when she shows up, because it seems like as soon as she gets there, she immediately starts playing husband and wife against one another. So what she does is basically she'll be like sympathizing with Irina. It's like, you know, he shouldn't treat you like that. You should do something about it. And it's like, you know, being, and she pretty much takes her to bed almost immediately. Irina seems very grateful because I guess she hasn't been getting any. So she's just kind of like becomes attached. And then, but she's also kind of like flirting with Oliviero, like in a kind of acerbic sort of way. And then they end up banging. And then also she, in some kind of random thing, which doesn't really, have anything to do with the plot, she starts fucking some like motorbike dude. I think they just wanted to put motorbikes in the movie. It's like, because I don't really think that guy figures into the plot that I remember, like in any significant way. She's just like some other guy that she's just like, hey, I'm gonna fuck this guy. I guess he sort of figures into the plot at the end, but it's like, I don't know, it's not like a big thing. It's sort of like a little side thing. So it just goes to show how sort of sexually liberated she is. She doesn't want to be tied down. She just wants to like bang whoever she wants to bang. But like I said, because she shows up and immediately starts playing these two against one another, you're not entirely sure what her deal is. And for a second, I thought maybe she might be the killer, but that's not how it goes. So as I said, there's also a lot of shit going on with the cat, Satan. The cat sort of doing naughty cat shit, like killing a whole bunch of Irina's doves. At which point Irina gets really mad and pretty much stabs out the cat's eye. So they don't show it super, I mean, they do, but it's like, you know, it's obviously fake, good, because I didn't want it to look real. And then the cat kind of runs off, and then the husband gets all pissed off, what'd you do to my cat? And then you can like hear the cat kind of like yelling in the background. So like I said, if you're familiar with the Edgar Allan Poe story, you'll kind of know where it's going from this point. So after that, it's interesting because like I said, the giallo aspect is really only happens in the first part. Like a couple people get killed. Oliviero is kind of the main suspect because, you know, he was banging the first one and it's like the second was their maid and it happened in their house and they didn't really have any other suspects and shit. But then he goes, but then the killer kills somebody else, this sex worker, like in a brothel, who didn't really have anything to do with anybody. And somebody else, like, I think the madam comes in and like whacks that dude on the head or something like that. And so they catch that guy. So that wasn't like who it was. But then you also see this other dude who's wearing like a very, really obvious gray wig who's kind of like lurking around. And you do kind of find out who that is later on. So as it turned out, like I said, I am going to spoil it. So if you don't want to know, like go watch it because I'm going to tell you how it ends because I actually really, really did like the way this ended because I totally did not see this coming. Because Irina's character, who up until this point has been just a complete and total like victim. And you also kind of sense too, like I said, that she has some kind of like masochistic tendencies because there's a couple of really weird scenes where like her husband will like fucking like smack her around and like call her this, that, and the other thing. And then they'll have sex and she seems like she's not into it, but then kind of also sort of into it. So I was like, well, maybe that's just her thing. I don't really know. So how the fuck is this going? So there was that kind of whole thing too, because I was like, why don't you just leave? And honestly, you know, Floriana like tells her a few times, it's like, hey, we're on a picnic. It's like, he's standing right over there by the cliff. Why don't you go just like boop and like push him right off? And I was just like, yeah, do it, girl. But she doesn't. But that was like foreshadowing for later. So it turns out that despite her having seemed like a victim this whole entire time, it is actually Irina who has masterminded this whole plot. Not only, she reveals, did she kill Oliviero's mom before the events of the movie took place, but her and the dude with the gray wig also started killing other girls that they knew that Oliviero was banging because they wanted him to suffer. They wanted him to be under scrutiny by police. They wanted this, that, because she was saying, you know, you're such a drunk now that you could have killed somebody and you wouldn't even remember it. So it was like really, really easy to even like make you question yourself, like whether you had done it or not. So she's pretty much engineered this whole entire plot from the beginning. She was the one that killed the maid. She was the one that killed all the girls from the beginning, like I said, so she could make her husband look guilty. Now, interestingly, what ends up happening with that is that after she reveals this to Oliviero, she kills him, and then her and Floriana are like, okay, well, we need to like bury this douchebag down in the cellar. And so that's what they do. But then at this point, Irina realizes, she's like, okay, well, now this bitch is like has all this info on me, so I'm gonna have to like bump her off as well. So she gets the gray-haired guy, and then they set it up so that Floriana and the motorbike dude that she's banging get into a horrible accident and they both die horribly. Then Irina, because she doesn't like loose ends, that, like I said, there was some foreshadowing of this at the beginning. The guy with the gray wig is just like, yeah, we did all this plot. And she's like, yeah, wasn't that awesome? It's like, we just figured everything out. I got the villa. I got all the money. I got all this other kind of stuff. He's like, I'm just going to stand right here by the edge of this cliff. And she's like, boop. She just like pushes him right off. So in a way, I was kind of like, everybody in this movie was so shitty that I was almost kind of like, yeah, man, you go, girl. Just get it. But as I said, if you've read the Edgar Allan Poe story, you know she's not going to get away with it. Because what ends up happening is that the rag and bone woman, who we've seen a couple times like walking around in the movie, saw the cruelty toward the cat that Irina had been doing. She saw her stab the cat and she reported it to the cops. So the cops, ironically, come to the house to report, to investigate the animal cruelty thing. And while they are in the house, the cat starts yelling from behind the wall where Irina has hid the bodies, not only of her husband, but also of the maid that she killed earlier. So, you know, it doesn't look too good having some bodies behind the wall in the cellar. I was just kind of like saying, it's like, those aren't mine. I don't know how they got there. But like I said, just like the Edgar Allan Poe story, the cat somehow gets behind the wall where the bodies are and yells and yells and yells until the cops like bust the wall down. And that's how she's found out as the murderer. So as I said, this is actually, I think I've seen most of Sergio Martino's giallo, now that I'm giallo movies, now that I'm thinking about it. This is not my favorite of them. I think that would probably be, like I said, All the Colors of the Dark. Just, I liked the psychedelic kind of shit going on in that one, in the witchcraft angle. I liked that. But this one is actually really good, really worth watching. Everybody in it is a terrible person, but they're terrible in really interesting ways. And I really liked the way that they focused on the interplay between the three main characters, and you weren't really sure, like I said, what anyone's motivations were. Like I said, the giallo aspect, as in, you know, unknown black gloved killer going around hacking people up, it does have that aspect to it, but it's sort of like minimal. That's pretty much just in the second part. And then the first part rather. And then the second part goes more in a gothic Edgar Allan Poe direction, where it's just, you know, you find out this big reveal. She was the one that masterminded it all along. And as I said, if you're into gore, it's probably going to let you down, because there's really not a lot of the kills are just very, not lame, but they're just not all that bloody, not all that gory, not all that creative. But that said, you know, if you like smut, you'll really be into it too. Some of the shots in this are really, really cool. Like, there's some really interestingly framed shots. The score didn't really make that much of an impression. Some people like it, some people hate it. I don't even really remember what was going on in it. As I said, the first time I watched this, like the first 5 minutes with the hippie party, I was just kind of like, I don't know if I'm in the mood for this right now. But that's pretty much the only time that that bizarro shit happens. Like, after that, it becomes sort of a more normal type of movie again. So kind of stick it out past that. Yeah, I didn't really get, like, while the hippie started singing and then it just kind of went on and on. And I was just kind of like, what the fuck is happening here? But it's just like a weird, like I said, what the fuck moment, which happens in this giallo movie sometimes. But other than that, this is a pretty solid giallo movie. Not the best, but not a throwaway one either. So definitely check it out if you like giallo movies and you haven't seen it. Oh, I forgot to mention this. There's a part kind of later on in the movie where Oliviero, who's an alcoholic writer, types the same phrase over and over again, like in the office. He goes in the office and slams the door, and then you hear typing. And then later, another character comes in and sees like the same phrase like typed over the whole page. And I was thinking, wait a minute, this is pre The Shining. This came out in 1972. I can't remember when the book came out, but I can't even remember if that typing shit was in the book or if it was just in the Stanley Kubrick movie. But in any case, I'm pretty sure the novel came out after 1972. So now I wonder if Stephen King or Stanley Kubrick saw that and like were homaging it. Because it happens a couple of times. I can't remember what the first phrase that's typed over and over again is something like kill her and bury her in the cellar, just like typed over and over and over. And then the second time it just says vendetta or like revenge over and over. So I just thought that was really interesting. I was like, huh, maybe that's where like The Shining, where he got the idea from, because I didn't even realize. And I haven't really seen a lot of reviewers bring that up. So I thought that was like kind of an interesting little touch there. So, you know. Who knows? All right, so that will do it for this Flickers of Fear on another Italian giallo classic. Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key from 1972. So check it out. Like I said, it's on Shudder. I believe it's also on Amazon Prime. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.